Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt, your teacher. We're coming to you today from the internet side of our Sunday School ministry due to the rise in COVID situations within the family members of our church family. And we're having to suspend our lessons live and in person, both the lessons in Sunday School class as well as the services here at the church due to the rise in COVID that has been experienced here over the last few days. And we want to thank you this morning for listening to the lesson through our online ministries here at the Church of the Open Door. We thank God for this ministry and praise Him that we can still have this ministry even though we're not able to meet together as we normally would on Sunday mornings here in Baker Auditorium at 9:45 each Sunday. We want to welcome you to the year 2022. This is Sunday, January the 2nd, 2022, and we thank you for listening to the lessons today. I would like to first of all make a few announcements, and I want to again remind you that because of the uprise in the COVID situation, Pastor deemed it necessary that we suspend our in-person services here at church and in the various activities at the church in order to be able to help our people stay well and to get through this situation where many are suffering with COVID at this time, of which is our pastor as well. So please keep our pastor, other staff members, other church members in your prayers as we continue to try to work through this situation. And as a precautionary measure, we suspend all the services and activities at our church until further notice. And then I want to ask you today, especially from our class members, to be praying for Marilyn Deegan and her dear family. Marilyn called me on Friday morning, and she called to let me know that Brother Harry had passed away. He had fallen and hit his head, and later at the hospital, he passed away. And we need to pray for Marilyn right now. I know it's a difficult time right now after Christmas and at the first part of the new year. But you know, Marilyn, we know that God works all things out in His own way, and all things work together for good to those who love God. And Marilyn, we want you to know we're praying for you today. Our class will be praying for you, and we want to be a help and encouragement to you. So folks, let's pray for Marilyn, lift her up in our prayers, and ask God to be a help to her today. All right? Then I want to make an announcement today about some birthdays that we have here in the month of January as we start this new month in 2022. I want to wish a very happy birthday to Brother Steve Manning. His birthday is today. And we wish you a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and a very happy birthday today, Brother Steve. Then tomorrow, Brother Ed Willier and Catherine Adelaide will have birthdays on January the 3rd. We wish each of you a very happy birthday. And then on the 4th, Tuesday, Cheryl Bowers has a birthday. And we appreciate all she does here for the Lord in our church office. And we appreciate her being in our class as well. And then on the 7th, Linda Manning has a birthday, and we want to wish Miss Linda a very happy birthday on January the 7th. I don't have record of anyone having a wedding anniversary this week, so if I've missed one, if you could just email me or text me and let me know, I'll make sure to get it on there for the next Sunday, all right? We thank you so much for joining us today. Today, again, is Sunday morning, January the 2nd, 2022. We are studying in the book of Ephesians. Our lesson series is entitled Identity, Life in Christ. And today we will begin in lesson number 10. Lesson number 10, very appropriate lesson for today, our first Sunday in January. It's entitled Walk in Love and Light. We'll be looking at the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. Our theme verses for the lesson today are found in Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 2 and 8. And there the Bible says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I'd like to summarize our lesson in one little statement this morning, and that is, may the love and light of my walk for Christ be a reality to those around me today. I think we need to start out this new year in service for the Lord. Our love and our walk, our light that we shine forth in this life, it needs to be pointing folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're online this morning, I trust that you are, you can pull up the lesson and go through it with us this morning, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. As we enter this new year of 2022, I want to encourage you to consider your walk for the Lord as a born-again child of God, even as the Apostle Paul encouraged the believers there in the church of Ephesus to do. In this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesus, we are reminded of some things that are found in the Word of God as early as the book of Genesis about God's desire for you and for me to walk in the light of His great love. Let me show you some things quickly this morning as we begin this lesson entitled Walk in Love and Light. Turn with me right now, if you will, to the book of Genesis chapter 1, the very first book in the Bible. We call it the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And here in verses 1 through 5, we see the deed that only God could do. Look at it with me this morning. Here the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, the Apostle John wrote about this great deed as well over in John chapter 1. And if you can turn there with me, I want to read the first four verses where the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. But then John tells us not only of the deed, but also of the disaster that came into this world there in John chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, where he writes these words, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But oh, thank God, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And John goes on to write there, not only of the deed and the disaster, but also of the delight in John chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, stating this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, aren't you glad for the wonderful delight of God's love for sinful man, and for the fact that one day you chose to accept that great gift of love and be saved? What a delight to know Jesus as our own personal Savior. So not only does God's Word show us God's great deed of creation and the disaster of sin and the delight of salvation, but Jesus taught us of the duty of His children, which is found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, where the Bible says, and He, talking about Jesus, and He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Folks, our duty as truly born again children of God in this new year of 2022 is to follow Jesus, to stay in the Word of God, and to allow the Word of God to stay in us, to follow Jesus so that we might become fishers of men. But the question is, how do you and I learn to perform this duty? Well, the answer is found in the lesson this morning. Now, let's take a look at it today from God's Word. Our lesson is entitled, Walk in Love and Light. While we each know that God has not only saved us so that we might have a home in heaven when we die, we also know that God has given us, as His dear children, a new purpose in life. But that purpose in life can only be accomplished when you and I choose to stay in His Word and to determine to live in love and obedience to God's plan for our lives. Here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul exhorts the believers in Ephesus to have a walk that is different from the walk that they had before they were saved, and even as the lost world around them had. That walk was to begin, point number one, with a walk in love. Look at it with me this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. That walk in love starts out with our following Christ's sacrificial example. Look at what the Bible said in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Paul's exhortation to these dear folks is seen here in the very first part of verse 1, where he writes unto them saying, Be ye therefore followers of God. You see, Paul's desire was for them to be more like their heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to walk in their Father's love as dear children. For them to be true followers of God meant that they were to be imitators of God's love displayed upon sinful mankind through the sacrificial giving of His own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John put it this way in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. He wrote there and he said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then down in verse 19 of that very same chapter, John sums it all up this way by saying, We love Him because He first loved us. Think about that this morning, folks. As Christ gave Himself in love as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice unto God for our sin, you and I are to offer ourselves unto Him in a sacrificial walk of selfless love and devotion unto God, our Savior. But now, the question is again, how do we do that? Well, look at what Paul exhorts them to do here in verses 3 and 4. Part number B in our lesson, we start out with resisting the world's sinful expressions. We need to learn to resist the world's sinful expressions. Look at verses 3 and 4, Ephesians chapter 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. When we read of God's great deed of creation, the very first thing we see happening is God creating light and setting a definite division between His light and the empty void and vacuum of darkness. As we read earlier in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we saw how that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. John again wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. I like that. If you and I are to become more like Christ, then we too must resist being like the world. And we must stand out differently from the world by allowing the glorious light of God's love to shine out through us. Folks, sin is always described in the Word of God as darkness. And from the very beginning of creation, it was God and God alone who was able to separate the light from the darkness. And while there are many types of sin which can bring about a separation from the light of God's love in a child of God's life, Paul writes here to these Ephesian believers about three specific groups of sin which they needed to avoid at all costs. They needed to avoid them at all costs. Now look at this. These three groups consisted of, number one, immoral behavior. Look at it here in verse number 3, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, where he writes, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Folks, fornication here is referring to things such as pornography, strong sexual desires outside of marriage, and sins. And all uncleanness here refers to those sins of immorality and sexual perversion, no matter how big or how small that sinful man may categorize them to be. It was all sin, and it was all unclean in the eyes of God. But then look at the second group, number two, covetous desires. Now this refers here in verse number 3 as covetousness, or having the strong desire to have or to take away that which belongs to someone else, whether it be material possessions such as a person's car or their truck or their house or their land or their money, or whether it be another man's wife or another woman's husband and all the such like. You know, I read an article one time which spoke of how John D. Rockefeller, an Ohio native, he started Standard Oil Company. And Rockefeller was at one point the world's richest man and first ever American billionaire. Considering that he was a billionaire in the early 1900s, he's still considered as the richest person in modern history. And when a reporter asked him, Mr. Rockefeller, how much money is enough? Mr. Rockefeller responded with these few words, saying, just a little bit more. Folks, covetousness is a sin that can never be satisfied outside of walking in the love of God, because covetousness is only concerned with pleasing self and gaining all that self can gain. It's not interested in pleasing God. It's only interested in pleasing self. You see, covetousness is a heart issue that only God can cure. And here in these verses, Paul warns these Ephesian believers to stay away from all forms of fornication, uncleanness, and covetous living, because they were now God's children. They were called saints. That meant they were called apart and set aside ones for God's own special purpose and plan. And whether they were rich or poor, covetousness was still a factor they needed to avoid. And child of God, covetousness in a child of God's life can lead to many other types of sin, which will only serve to cause separation from God and uselessness in a child of God's life and service unto God. But then look at verse number 4. And there Paul warned them to stay away from, number 3, sinful speech. And there he wrote, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Many a child of God has lost their testimony for Christ before others through the improper use of their tongue. James wrote in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, he said, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing how that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in all things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a small member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Folks, sinful speech can come in the form of dirty jokes or stories or foolish talking and jesting, obscene and even vulgar language, along with silly and inappropriate talk, which, as Paul writes here, which are not convenient. And that means that they are not fit or proper, and it does not become the character of a truly born-again child of God. Instead, you and I, as children of God, should speak words of thanksgiving and praise unto our Savior and before those around us, so as to lift up and encourage one another in the things of God. Look what he said, "but rather giving of thanks." The psalmist David said in Psalm 30, verse 4, "Sing ye unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Child of God, you and I need to resist the world's temptations to be like them instead of being more like Christ in all that we do, in our behavior, in our desires, and especially in our speech. But ultimately, Paul reminds both these Ephesian believers, as well as you and I that read this letter today, of how we need to consider God's coming wrath. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5, 6, and 7. Here Paul writes, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Now, Paul was not writing them about things that they were not aware of or in areas that they had not already been taught. But rather, he told them here, he said, "For this ye know." It is never so much the things that we do not know which get us in trouble, as it is those things which we already know and have been well taught in, but we simply choose to disregard. And folks, that ought not to be. And though we may not immediately see the results of such willfulness to disregard God's commands in our lives, when we so casually choose to disregard God's instructions and teaching in our personal lives, we too need to be reminded that one day the wrath of God will be unleashed upon all sin and upon those who so openly choose to continually walk and live in sin. Look at verse 5, where he states, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." And then look at verse 6. He goes on to warn them, saying, let no man deceive you with vain words. You know, the devil is very active in deceiving people today. He is active in deceiving people into disobeying God and in living ungodly lifestyles. And he wants to do everything he can do to cause the church to become more worldly as he causes the world to become more churchy. Since the very beginning of time, Satan has used deception to destroy the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. And he does not care who he deceives or what the consequences of following after his deceptions may produce in a person's life. So now Paul warns these folks to not allow anyone to deceive them with vain words of flattery and enticement. Solomon warned his son in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, telling him, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. John went on to write in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. Paul again told the Thessalonian believers in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. And regarding the sin of drunkenness and drinking in itself, Solomon warned his children in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Folks, stay in the book and allow the book to stay in you, and you will not fall to the devil's deceptions. Why? Look at it. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Notice here that Paul warns them how that God's wrath is going to fall upon the children of disobedience. Whether they're saved or they're lost, folks, listen, God hates disobedience. He hates sin. Sin is sin in the eyes of God, whether it's committed by a lost man or whether it's committed by a saved man. The difference is a lost man will end up spending eternity separated from God in a devil's hell because he rejected Christ Jesus and he disregarded God's commands. Whereas a saved man will live forever in heaven, but he's going to have to one day face the one who saved him in the utter shame and loss of any rewards that God may have given unto him had he lived and walked and talked and obeyed the Lord as he should have. Thus he writes here in verse number 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Folks, you and I, as born-again children of God, we are to walk in God's love and not as the world walks. The only way that we can continue to do this is by our choosing not only to walk in love, but to walk in light. Look at verse number 8, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. We need to, number one, we need to recognize our light. Paul wrote here and he said, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. God had brought these dear folks out of the darkness of sin. Therefore, they were to never forget what God had done for them as they recognized the light of God which shone out through them in all that they did for Christ. Jesus told his disciples over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You and I, therefore, as Christians, need to recognize the light that is within us and choose to stay away from any darkness of sin that may attempt to extinguish our light. Hey, listen, folks, keep the globe of your lantern clean from the inside out. Amen. But number B, not only do we need to recognize our light, but we need to depend upon the Spirit of God. The Bible said here in verses 9 and 10, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Folks, proof of our love for the Lord comes in the form of fruit produced by the sweet Holy Spirit of God as He is allowed to work, as He desires to work in our lives. And this fruit of the indwelling Spirit of God actively working in our lives is what is acceptable unto the Lord. Therefore, we've got to learn to depend upon the Spirit of God to help us to walk in love and in light. But then point number C, we need to shine brightly so as to expose sin. Look at what he said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame, even a secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, Paul encourages them as they walk in love and in light and in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He encourages them to shine brightly so as to expose sin for what it truly is. You and I are to stand boldly, and we're to shine boldly and brightly so that the world can readily see the difference between sinful darkness and godly light. You see, the truly productive life is that life which is lived for Christ, and in the power of His might, not ours, but of His might, while the wasted life and the hopelessly non-productive life is that life which has rejected the instruction and the things of God and will one day reap only the consequences of willful sin. God had told Paul to write here in verse number 11 that His children were to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, stand against them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Folks, sin is no topic for God's children to dwell on or to talk about all the time. Sin should bring forth shame and horror in a conversation, not pride, not curiosity to go and check it out. As God's children, we are to reprove sin and to stand against it in every way possible as we allow the light of God's Word and His indwelling Holy Spirit to help us not to sleep, but to remain awake and be aware of the sin that surrounds us and attempts to destroy all that is good and holy. But then lastly, he wrote here in verses 15 through 17 how we are to buy up some opportunities to shine. Look at it here with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Folks, let me remind you of something this morning. Life is short, too short for us as God's dear children to waste it on frivolous sins that appease only the flesh for a temporary time. And for that reason, you and I need to be walking in Christ-like love and in Christ-like light while it is day, for the night surely cometh when no man can work. That's why Paul writes, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Folks, listen to me today. Satan knows that his days are limited. Yet he seems to work harder and harder to deceive more and more people, both saved and lost, to reject God's word and to not take life seriously, whether that life be in Christ or not in Christ. Therefore, you and I, we've got to redeem, regain, repurchase the time that we have already lost in wasted efforts to appease only our flesh and the lusts thereof before it is eternally too late to do so. And why? Look at what he said, because the days are evil. As the days grow more evil, so also the coming of our Savior grows more close. Folks, as we begin this new year of 2022, let us so choose to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. May we not wait until that great and terrible day when we stand before the Lord and give account unto Him for our callous disregard for disobedience and sin while living upon this earth. But let us, as Paul exhorts here in verse 17, to be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. When we understand God's perfect plan and will for our lives as born again children of God, then we will indeed both lovingly and willingly choose to walk in His love and light as His dear children. Now, how about it today, Conquerors class member? Are you truly walking in the love and light of the God who has saved you and redeemed you from sin? Let me ask you this. If you're not, why not? And if not today, as we begin yet another new year in 2022, then when will you begin walking that walk in love and in light? Maybe you're listening today to this lesson and you have never been saved. You don't know the Christ that we speak of today as your own personal Savior. Maybe you're listening today and you've never heard how that you could be saved. My friend, what you need to do today is fall upon your knees and confess the fact to God that you know you are a sinner. And if you died without Him as your Savior, you know that you're bound to spend eternity separated from God in a devil's hell. But my friend, no one wants to die and go to hell, and I know that you don't. Why don't you call upon God and do what the Bible said? Believe what the Bible says, that God loved you and gave Himself for you in the form of His dear Son. He died upon the cross for your sins. He was buried to take those sins away. And He arose again to give you everlasting and eternal life. If you will but trust Him and receive Him into your heart today as your own personal Savior. Why don't you do that today? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you today. And I want to lift up those folks in our class that are going through such horrible times of sickness and bereavement right now. Lord, I think about the lives of those folks that are going to be touched by the loss of Brother Harry. And Lord, I know that he's with you today. That's not a question in my heart and my mind. But God, I want to pray for dear Marilyn. And I pray, Lord, for her dear family. And I pray, God, that you'll strengthen them to keep their eyes on you, dear Lord, that they might be able to lead others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the family of Miss Joyce Borman today. And Lord, I pray, God, for them as they prepare to lay her body to rest where she passed away this past week. Lord, I pray for these dear families and those that are suffering with COVID and other situations in our class. God, I lift them up to you today, and I pray, God, that you'll encourage them as we begin this new year to continue to walk in the love and light of your dear word, Lord, so that others might know and see that Christ is truly real. And Lord, if there be someone listening this morning to the sound of my voice, I pray, God, if they're not saved, God, you'll draw them unto you, and you'll help them to see their need to be saved, and they'll fall on their knees and call upon your name today and ask you to save them before it is eternally too late. Be with our pastor who is sick. I pray, God, that you'll strengthen him to get well. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with me in just a few moments as I go and preach to our people, both this morning and tonight and again on Wednesday night. I pray, dear God, that you'll give me the words that you'd have me to say, that I might be a strength and encouragement to them in the church today. And God, we'll thank you for all you do. We love you, and we thank you for this new year that you've given us to live and to walk in your love and in your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, we love you today. We thank you for being a part of the Conqueror Sunday School class online. We'll keep you informed as to when we're able to be back in person and live in Baker Auditorium. But until that day, I pray that this lesson will be a help to you and you'll continue to watch online at 10:45 this morning, at 6 o'clock tonight, and then at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.